All right, we got some single people here today. How many of y'all want to get married one day? Single people want to get married? Yeah. Yeah, okay, there's a lot of them, right? And those of you that are married, raise your hands if you here. And those of you that are in between, yep, okay, cool. Well, today's message is going to apply to everyone in every category. We're going to look at God's design for a healthy marriage. And you're thinking like, I'm not married because I, you know, I'm single or whatever. Well, this is actually going to apply to you because you can prepare for a healthy marriage. My guess is you maybe have kids that are older too that are married or want to get married. And you can coach them. You could speak into their lives because if you have the understanding of God's design for a healthy marriage, you can receive that for yourself. And then you can prepare yourself for marriage, and you could also help others in their marriage as well. So everybody's gonna get a really practical tool today that if you take this tool from scripture and you apply it to your life, you will have the best marriage possible that God has designed for you. So I'm gonna take a look. Read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, or 33. So Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. I want you to take a few moments to read the scripture yourself. And as you're reading that, you can ask these two questions. Ask, what do I learn about God, Jesus, or his plan? So what am I learning about God or Jesus in this scripture? And what am I learning about people? So what am I learning about God or Jesus or his plan, like plan for marriage? And what am I learning about people? So take a few minutes to read the scriptures for yourself, and then we'll come back together as a community. So the first time I met Meredith, I was playing a full court basketball game. And in this full court basketball game, she was watching. And so this is for you, JR. We were playing this full court basketball game, and there was a young woman on the other team, and I was young. I was like 22 then, a little bit older now. And she set up a moving screen, and I was going, and I decked her to the ground, like super hard. And everyone was like booing me because I knocked her down. I talked to her, I was like, hey, you weren't setting the right screen. She's like, I know. So I knocked her down to the ground, and that was the first thing that Meredith witnessed about me. I was playing a basketball game and knocked another young person down. Had to be a female. And then as we continued to get to know each other, she realized, oh, he's not that mean. He doesn't knock people down all the time. And for me, with Meredith, she was the first young woman that I was not pursuing, that something just kept happening. And I was like, Lord, I am not pursuing her. I'm trying to go in a different direction, and she just keeps happening. And so I know you're like, what's going on here? So that's what I was laughing. I was like, what's going on, God? So I took a day to fast and pray. And I was like, Lord, you got to make it clear. Like, you want me to pursue Meredith? Because I'm planning to go to the mission field and do some other stuff with my life. And I feel like God spoke to me pretty clearly. He said, you're going to marry Meredith before you go to the mission field. And then with the scriptures I was reading that day, happened to be reading, there was a scripture that confirmed that word for me. And I don't want to be the creepy guy that says, hey, God said I'm going to marry you. So I decided I'm not going to do that. And then it was like 2 weeks later, she was talking to me. She said indirectly that God told her that we're going to get married. And I said, wait, did you just say God told you we're going to get married? She's like, yeah. And I was like 2 weeks ago, the Lord put the same thing in my heart. And so as we, over the next several months, we got to know each other more and pursued that. And we went into premarital counseling, which was awesome. You know, got engaged and eventually got married. And in that process, you know, I was 23 when I got married. I had a lot to learn. I had a ton to learn when I stepped into it. And two of the biggest things I had to learn is I had to learn how to be selfless, being married, and I had to learn how to be a spiritual leader. Because as a husband, you know, it's on me to be a spiritual leader for the family, and I had to learn what that was like. So God took me through this long process, and we journeyed together through it, of how do we cultivate a healthy marriage, how God has designed it. And as we looked at scriptures, and we read some good books that were helpful, and we talked to people that gave some good counsel and wisdom, we kind of figured out after, you know, a decade or so, like, how do you have a really healthy marriage the way that God has designed it? And we had to work through some things, and we had to work through some things personally, we had to work through some things together. But once we learn, you know, the understanding of how God has designed it, we can have a really flourishing and thriving marriage. God wants to bless you with a really amazing marriage. And he does this by showing you his way of doing it. But if you do it another way, you're going to go your own way, and you're going to have the fruit of going your own way in that marriage. But if you go the way that God has designed it, you will have a thriving, fruitful, and prospering marriage. So we're going to look today about how you do that. So let's read verses 21 through 24, and then we'll dive in. We'll go through all of them. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. And the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So we're going to look at God's design for a healthy marriage. And here is one of the best keys. And for those of you that are still single, not yet married yet, you guys can get set up for success. A healthy marriage starts before you even get married. So a healthy marriage starts before you even get married, because this is the opportune time to really work on yourself and to work through the things that Jesus wants to work out in your heart and work out in the heart of the other person that he wants you to marry. Because even right now, Emery's already praying for her husband. So at night when we pray together, she says, "Daddy, can we pray for my husband?" Absolutely. So she's praying for him to get prepared for marriage, right? And so there's this time of preparation. Healthy marriage starts before you get married. And your marriage will be built upon what you bring as a husband or what you bring as a wife to that marriage. So it isn't just going to be, you know, a miracle marriage like that. God is going to work with what he has to work with. And he's going to work with you. And he's going to work with your spouse. So he works with what he has. And marriage lays the foundation for healthy families. So if you have a healthy marriage, you're going to have a healthy family. And there's another really important piece that actually builds on your family. It's the importance of grandparents and great-grandparents. So if you're a grandparent or plan to be one day, or even a great-grandparent, you have the opportunity to pray over your family for a generational blessing. So when you pray for your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids that are either they're born right now or they will be born, remember, prayer is outside of time, because God is outside of time. So your prayers can resolve your past, your prayers can influence your present, and your prayers can shape the future. So when you pray as grandparents and great-grandparents over your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you actually set up your generational line for success. So the more time you put aside praying for your family, it's going to make a huge difference for the future. So God's desire is for healthy families that reflect Jesus's relationship with the church. And it says in the scriptures here that Jesus is the head of the church. So Jesus set an example for us, and we must follow him with what he did for us, leading us as the church. All right, so if you, depending on your translation, you heard my translation, there was this word submit, right? And when it says wife, submit to your husband, some of you might be like, ooh, what does that mean? Because Nate talked about submission a while back in his Jesus at Work story. And we have the world who fractures the word submission. And so it's like, I don't want to submit to anyone. And a lot of our culture here in the West, especially United States, is actually built off of rebellion. So why would we want to submit to anyone? Why would I want to submit to my husband? Like, what does that even look like? So when I did some research on this word submit, hear this word submit through a kingdom lens. Humble, to hear, obey, voluntary, cooperating. So what this really describes is a healthy, godly kingdom relationship. So the goal is that there is a healthy relationship between a husband and a wife, and each of us, according to scriptures, have our different roles. And our heart behind this really matters. So when we, and it says, and it starts off with submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So then you bring that into your marriage. So for Meredith and I, when we make decisions and we do life together, we're processing everything together. We're getting each other's input. We're asking questions. We're listening to one another. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the responsibility falls on me. Because if you look at the scriptures, Jesus is the head of the church. And we'll look and it says the husband is the head of the wife. So the husbands, we have a responsibility. If you're a to-be husband, or if you're going to coach husbands, we want to call us up to a role of spiritual leadership. So a role of spiritual leadership. And we have, if you're a husband or a to-be husband, you have to ask yourself this question. We have to ask ourselves this question. Would you want to submit to yourself? Would you actually want to follow your own leadership? If you look at the dude in the mirror in the morning, would you want to be like, I want to follow this guy? If you're like, this guy's a total, you know, fill in the blank, like, why would anybody want to follow you or marry you, right? So you have to ask the hard question. Another question is, would you want to follow your own leadership? If you're, you know, a husband or to-be husband, would you want to follow your own leadership? Would you want to be treated the way that you treat people? Why not? And those are some really good things to think about. So as a husband or as a man, you got to be worthy of respect, right? You got to be worthy of respect, which means you work on your character. And for women, you're hearing like, talking about the guys a lot. That's the type of guy you want to look for, right? A man of character, a man of integrity, a man who's respectable. Because if that dude isn't treating people like that, he's going to treat you worse behind the scenes. So you want to find a guy he's going to measure up to the word of God. There's some other questions we got to ask. What if your husband's not a believer? Let's say you got like married or made some decisions. Your husband's not a believer. What if your husband's not taking spiritual leadership? Or what if he's unloving? If you want to write this down, there's a whole chapter on this first one. If your husband's not a believer, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So this is in the context of marriage. The scripture advises you, you can remain with your husband or your wife. So you remain with that person because there is the hope or possibility that they will actually become a believer through your prayers. So scripture advises you, stay there and pray and they will become a believer. What if your husband's not taking spiritual leadership? I would say, study the word, get in the word. And what does the word say as a wife, if your husband's not taking spiritual leadership, get on your knees before Jesus and pray for your husband and say, Jesus, how do you want me to navigate this? What does this look like? So you're going to the word, you're going to the Holy Spirit, and you want to go to community. Find godly counsel who you can talk to and say, how do I navigate this situation? What do you recommend? Let's pray together. And then create opportunity for the Holy Spirit. Set your husband up for success if he's not taking spiritual leadership. Create those spaces for him to step into it and to do that well. At the end of the day, we all got to remember this. We're only responsible for ourselves, right? We're only responsible for ourselves and how we behave and how we treat other people and what we do with our own lives. Here, jump into verses 25 through 30. So take a look at your word here and let's read it. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed and cleansing her by God's word. He did this to present himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she'll be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. I don't know if you noticed this, but the wives part was just a few verses, and the man's part, the husband's part, had a ton of verses. So when you look at that, I would say the scripture is saying, husbands, you got a high bar, and you got to meet this. So husbands, you got a high bar, and can you meet that bar that God is laying out for you? And you know what your bar is? Your bar is Jesus. Man, he gave up everything for the church. He served her, he washed her feet, he did everything, and he died for her. And husbands, either husbands now, husbands to be, or you're to coach husbands, man, you got to call husbands up to this really high bar for Jesus' example to follow and do what he says. And so what this means is, as husbands, we got to sacrifice the most. So if Jesus set the example of being sacrificial, and he did that for us, husbands, we got to sacrifice the most. We got to work the hardest, and we got to put in the most effort. So this might mean you're getting up earlier, you're staying up later, you're putting things aside for yourself that you would want to do for your own fun, to go help out your wife and help out with the kids. And so what this means is we do dishes, we do cooking, we help out with the kids. Like, nothing's off limits, right? If Jesus served us in every way possible, as husbands, it means like we do everything that Jesus asks us to do. We help out in every way around the house, every way in our family. I understand there's different roles. Like, Meredith does certain things in our family with her roles, and I do certain things in my roles. But it doesn't mean it's off limits for me. Like, last night, there's just dynamics going on, and I just jumped in and did some things in the kitchen and other areas that, you know, she was gonna get to. This is what it was. Some of our potatoes, like one of them had the rotten, this might happen to you sometimes, they cover it like rots, and it like liquefies and it gets all the other potatoes bad. Yeah, that happened to us. And I was like, we just bought those potatoes. So she had pulled them out and it was like liquefied everywhere. And I was just like, I just went over, cleaned it up, put it in a bag, sprayed up the floor and wiped it up and just went on and threw it away. And Meredith was like, that was like on my 10th thing to do list. You know, I was gonna get to it. And I was like, oh, it's just, you know, I just took care of it. So it's like when we see those things as husbands, we just take care of it. We serve, right, as Jesus set the example. And the other thing too I found is helpful as husbands is create space for your wife to have connections with other women. That's like super important. So creating space for her to connect with other women or do things she likes to do, and learn her love languages and meet them. And you could go on, you literally Google love languages, take a test, and you can look at theirs. And if you're doing something like, let's say, you love words of affirmation. I love when people say nice things to me. And you keep saying nice things to your spouse and it does nothing for them, and they're like, I don't care you say nice things to me. I just want you to go clean up after yourself and put your clothes in the hamper, right? And if you're like, people don't do that, you'll find out if you're not married yet. So the idea is like, how can you best do that with your spouse? And all this is vice versa too, right? So as wives, it's like, how can you do that with your husband as well? And this is for all of us here who are married or want to get married, we're going to coach people. Like, if Jesus is not your source to do this because the bar is so high, we will fail. Like, we will not be able to do it. And so Jesus says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you and you'll produce much fruit. So the key to actual success in this is learning to abide in Jesus. Because everything that I do, man, I sometimes have to dig deep. I'm digging deep into Jesus to be able to do everything with, you know, with our kids and my wife and everything in this church plant. It's like, I got to bring 100% everywhere I show up. And it's totally possible through Jesus. He can give you the ability to do that. And I'll just make this comment. I think it's just a healthy comment to make. Sometimes when people hear that word submit, like, they will abuse that word and they'll actually abuse in their relationship. And so, man, there is never any reason for any form of abuse in any way, from physical to you fill in the blank. Like, there's never a reason for abuse to try and use the word submit to harm someone. And women, if that ever happens in your relationship or in your marriage, respond appropriately and get help and also protect your kids until that person who is doing abuse will resolve their own issues. So it's good to have healthy boundaries in your relationships and take care of your family in that way. So look at verses 31 through 33 as we come closer to a close. So as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So I say again to each other, to you, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So are you guys ready for the secret to a healthy marriage and a thriving marriage? We're literally going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you on a handout after this. You can literally put it on your wall, your Bible. You can tape it to yourself. You can get it tattooed. I mean, whatever you want to do to make it stick. The first thing you do, if you read the scriptures, a man must leave his father and mother. So man, it means we got to grow up. We got to move out and we got to do things. And then it says you're united with your wife, right? So you leave your parents and then you're united with your wife. And something you got to think about when you come together. Are you the man that someone would want to marry? Are you the woman that someone would want to marry? Right? So if you're preparing for marriage, prepare yourself. And when you hit that high bar you want to be at, you will attract the person at that level where you're at. So if you're like, if you're lowballing and you're lowballing right now and you're like, man, I'm just attracting like all these like sleazeball guys. First, just say, Lord, is there anything in my heart or my life I need to get cleaned up? And Jesus, is there anything from my family that is making me want to go after these people? Clean that up. And then Jesus will bring the right exact person he has for you. I'll make this comment comes to mind. I really believe that there is someone that God has designed for you to marry. And if you are willing to seek him and to wait on him and to go after him, he will bring that right person. Like, he brought Meredith to the basketball gym when I knocked that young woman down, right? But that's how it all started. But the idea is that Jesus will arrange it for you if you are willing to do it his way. But if you go your own way, he'll let you do it, and you'll have your own outcome. But Jesus wants to give you the best person for you. So put in the hard work of growth, work through your issues, and get healthy, and you'll have a healthy, thriving marriage for you and the generations to come. If you look at here in the scriptures, another ingredient to healthy marriage, and we're going to get to that secret, so hang in there. God defines marriage between a man and a wife, and a marriage is a covenant that is made before God. So you're not married until you actually make your covenant before God between you and your spouse. And it talks about too, like, you come together and you're one. So literally, when you come together with that person, you become one. And that happens through sexual intimacy, right? So then you become one with that person, just like God becomes one with us as the church. And if you think about that, it's really important, because when you become one with someone in that way, you actually create all these soul ties with the person. So you become one with them, not only in like spiritual connection, but you have a soul connection and a body connection with them. And so if you've had those relationship types of interactions outside the context of marriage, you actually have all these ties and connections with those people, and they need to be resolved through prayer, through confession of sin, renouncing those, and also repenting, and then a simple prayer of breaking those things off of your life, and you'll be set free. And that's why God designs marriage as the healthy and correct space to have sexual intimacy, because he wants to set you up for success, because the things outside of that will actually tear your life down. So sex outside of marriage, the Bible calls fornication, actually leads us outside of God's design, which is always God's best for us. All right, y'all ready for the secret to a healthy marriage? This is it. This is literally the key that will set you up for success your whole life, and it was in verse 33. It says, a husband is to love his wife, and a wife is to respect her husband. That's it. So a husband, if you can love your wife will love you a ton. Not only love you, she'll respect you. And a wife, if you respect your husband, he will love you in return. So you have to ask the question, well, what if my wife is disrespectful? Doesn't matter. The scripture says you love your wife. And that love will actually turn her towards respect towards you. And vice versa. What if my husband is unloving to me? It says you respect him no matter what. And so you're seeing here that love produces respect. Respect produces love. It's actually a cycle. But if you're in what I'll show you in a second, what some people call the crazy cycle, because if the husband is unloving towards his wife, he's super harsh, and she responds with disrespect. Have you ever been in that state before? It just like cycles and cycles, and it gets worse and worse and worse until someone blows up or something happens. You can actually break that cycle by, if you're a husband, choosing to love your wife in that moment and apologizing. Just say, hey, I realize we're in a mess right now, and I was super rude to you and disrespectful, or I was unkind to you. Will you forgive me? Boom, that'll break it off. And more likely than not, your wife will be like, oh. Because you press the love button, and it turned her off from disrespect, and vice versa. So I'm gonna pause this up here for a second. I'm gonna hand something out. It's a love and respect diagram with acronyms. We're gonna go over it as a church. So remember, this applies to you if you're single, if you're married, if you're in between, because you can coach people. This will literally set everyone up for success. All right, so let's take a look at this together. You can see that this is from a book called Love and Respect. So I recommend this book. We actually, Marathon use this when we do premarital counseling with people. We have them read this book by Dr. Emerson Eggersrich. This is what he has named as the crazy cycle. So you can see, without love, she reacts without respect. He reacts without love. She reacts without respect. How many of you have ever been caught up in the crazy cycle before? I definitely have, right? So probably in this past month or so, at least one time we did it a little bit. But you can see, you could break it. You could break the crazy cycle by just, if you're a man and husband, right, responding in love. If you're a wife, just responding with respect. It works pretty much every time. So you have, if you're a practical person, anyone practical here, I'm very proud. Like, how do I actually do this, Jared? So he has these acronyms here. So it says couple, how to spell love to your wife. So I've literally memorized these. I can tell you them from when I first studied them because they were so insightful. So you got closeness. She wants to be close to you. Openness. She wants you to open up to her. This means talk about how you're feeling inside. Talk about your day. Talk about your life. Understanding. Like, don't try and fix her. Just listen. Don't offer solutions. Just listen. Don't do anything else. Just listen. Peacemaking. She wants you to say, I'm sorry. So like, ask forgiveness. Just say, hey, will you forgive me? I messed up. Goes a long way. Loyalty. She wants to know you're committed. You're not looking around. You're not going other places. Like, you are there, and show it to her. Esteem. She wants you to honor and cherish her. All right, if you're a woman, even married or not, like if this was being done by your husband, how would you, if you feel like, hey, this would be awesome, like raise your hand, right? Yeah, most people are like, that is me. Woohoo. All right, let's take a look at the dudes. So if you are a wife or aspiring wife to be, or you're in between and you can coach other people, chairs is how you spell respect to your husband. So we got conquest, appreciate his desire to work and achieve. Hierarchy, appreciate his desire to protect and provide. Authority, appreciate his desire to serve and lead. Insight, appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. Relationship, appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. And sexuality, appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy. So if you're a dude again, either a husband now, husband to be in between, if this was done by your wife, would you be like, hey, that's cool? Yeah, most guys shaking their heads. Yeah, raise their hands. Yeah. And so these are some really practical ways that if you do this in your marriage or if you're preparing for marriage, these will set you up for success. It's really that simple. But we also know it's more, a bit more complicated because you have to do it, right? So when you're feeling like unloved or disrespected, our first thing often to do in our flesh is to lash out. But if you can say, okay, Holy Spirit, I give this to you. My husband was being a, you know, whatever, but I'm going to respond with respect. Man, you will break that cycle right there. Or vice versa, right? If you're a husband and your wife disrespects you and you say, Holy Spirit, I give this to you, and you seek to build that bridge with her, you're going to really build a healthy and strong relationship. So based upon what you learned from the scriptures today, I want you to take a moment, 1 to 2 minutes, and write down in response, what do you want to do in response to what you learned? So take a moment to write that down. Based upon the scriptures, what you learned today, what do you want to do in response to the scriptures? Then after you write down your goal, share that with a person next to you too that helps reinforce it when you talk it out loud. And then think about who's one person you want to have a conversation with this week about what you learned. So if you want to just, you want to talk to your spouse about it, you can do that and set up a good conversation. This gives you some good takeaway. If your spouse like isn't here and how do you want to navigate that? Maybe like, this is what I learned at church today. What do you think? So how do you want to integrate it in your life? And then we're going to actually finish our time before we go into a final closing chorus. We're going to talk about a really important message about the gospel. So Richie's actually going to come up here and he's going to share the gospel message with us.
All right, how's it going? If you don't know me, my name's Richie Orr. Half my family goes here. And I just want to add, I know that it says it's a lot about the husbands, but I think that's for good reason. I think the men really need it spelled out. I think a lot of times, you know, we're not always the most intuitive when it comes to that. When it comes to the gospel, I just kind of want to talk about my story a little bit. So when I was 7 years old, you know, I grew up in the church, which was a blessing. But, you know, I was laying in bed and I really just had a fear of being far from God and really just, you know, going to hell. Because that's really the ultimate separation from God. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, what if I die tonight? And I had this imagery, and it's kind of applicable, I feel like, to what's been going on. But, you know, what if a plane just crashed into our house? And, you know, it was scary at the time. And, you know, I thought, would I be saved? And so that's when I really made that conscious decision that I wanted to give my life to Christ and repent. And I just really realized I couldn't do it on my own. And so we've all sinned, right? Or we've done wrong against God. And because of our sin, our relationship with God is broken. But Jesus came and he lived a perfect life without sin against God. And he willingly went to the cross and gave his life and died on the cross for our sins and for all of humanity. For whoever asked for sins to be forgiven. And now our relationship with God can be restored. And previously we didn't have that. And so not only did Jesus die, but he was put in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, he came back from the dead, fully alive, conquering death. And so if we believe in him, we can have eternal life. A lot of times when we have crisis in our life, right, we either can turn to Jesus or we can run from him. And on Judgment Day, right, we're going to either our name's going to be in the book of life. But we're saved by his grace. And part of that is giving our life to him. And so, if you're here or anyone listening that's not necessarily in our congregation, right, if you've, you know, I was asking, have you ever taken that opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and believe that he rose from the dead so you can have eternal life? If you'd like to do this means you turn from going your own way of living to Jesus' way, as he showed us in the Bible. Jesus becomes your Savior. He saves you from your sins. He becomes our Lord. He rules our life. And he becomes our best friend. So if that's something you want to do, you know, just raise your hand and I can walk through that, or you can see me after. But, you know, that really just means, you know, recognize that he sinned against you and that just ask him to forgive you for your sins. And he rose from dead and conquered death so we can have eternal life. And that leads to surrendering our life to Christ and ask him to be filled with the Holy Spirit and give us the desire to know and follow him. So, yeah, if it's up to you, just let us know. Thank you.
Thanks, Richie, for sharing the gospel clearly with us. And we invite up our worship team. We're going to close with a closing chorus. So, you want to hop up there? We're going to invite everyone to stand if you're willing and able.